You're listening to Liberty Sound with Ryan Hill.
No man who would behave that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for any office. The committee recognizes that our work has only begun. It's only the initial step in addressing President Trump's effort to remain in office illegally. Prosecutors are considering the implications of the conduct that we describe in our report.
Welcome to Liberty Sound, everybody. Coming up today, we have the Arizona election lawsuit and an update on things, where things stand with that. An interesting exchange related to mail-in voting with Trump on the Bongino show, on his radio show from earlier this week, and some fake news to dispel, as well as a look back at this year. And I hope you'll stay tuned to the end of today's show for an exciting Doctor Who Christmas show ranking. Yeah, I'm going to do that at the end, so we'll talk about that in a second. But first, you can find this show on Podbean today, but very, very soon it's going to be on YouTube and Rumble. Actually, it's already on there, but we'll be moving to those platforms as more or less the home of this show going into 2023. For now, it's also in a podcast format on Podbean and should be available tonight on there, as well as Spotify, Apple, and TuneIn Radio. Then you can see show notes in the description on whichever platform you're on. You can also follow me, FOA Ryan. That's Ryan Hill is my name, but FOA Ryan is my handle, FOA Ryan. And that's on Truth Social, on Gab, and Twitter. And then on Telegram, if you're on that platform and would like to follow my channel there, it is called FOA Universe. So this is the last show of the year for me. It's almost Christmas, and then it's going to be New Year's, and I'm not planning to do a show next week, so I thought I'd let you know now. It's the last live broadcast, as far as I know, on Podbean. After this week, I'm going to cancel my, it's not premium level, but my paid level subscription with Podbean, and move over to like the free ones for now. For reasons I talked about last week, you can go back and listen to that in a little bit more detail, but it just basically boils down to the bottom line. And unless or until the show is at a level that it can support additional subscriptions, then it's probably best not to do it. But it was great to get the thing started off. We'll talk about some of that at the end. But look for new episodes coming up. The show will go on in video format, so we'll be on YouTube and Rumble starting in January. I hope your holiday season is getting off to a good start. It's kind of like getting close to the end of it now. I mean, Christmas will be this weekend, literally, and the following weekend will be the new year, and then it will be time to get swinging for 2023. So I've been doing pretty well, like just about everybody else. You know, it gets super busy this time of year. It can be very stressful trying to get ready if you're doing presents and all that stuff. And even if you're not, just all of the, I don't know, to me, it's the emotions of the season. It's a very, it can be really good. It can also be really bad. I mean, I've had some tough Christmases before. There are certain aspects of this one that are tough, but I feel like I'm at least mentally or spiritually in a better state than I have been in some of those other ones. So, hey, you know, life does not come without its challenges. And I think it's important to take some time to appreciate the season, especially the reason for the season that we celebrate. If you are a Christian believer, obviously Christmas is a Christian holiday. So as I get ready for that, although it looks like some Arctic air is going to be sweeping in just in time, and it's going to be so, so cold. It's supposed to get down. They were saying to like -2 to -2 Fahrenheit, but now it looks like maybe not quite that cold, but I'll have to keep watching it and see where we end up. I'm prepared either way. Let's not waste too much time there. I have a few more things to say about that at the end, but as time is ticking on this broadcast today, let's go ahead and jump into some headlines. So the Twitter files are happening, right? And I'm not going to really spend a lot of time once again on there, but we've got to keep updating on this because things keep changing and more developments keep occurring. These Twitter files are now in their 7th or 8th phase of releases, and each phase has shown us a deeper level of government involvement in the inner workings of social media. Now, the question is going to come down to, in the end, is this involvement criminal or is it acceptable? And I don't, well, maybe that's not the question. It's probably not acceptable to most people who are aware of it at this time. It is, however, acceptable to the people that have been involved in the practices the entire time. And as I've pointed out, that's even included both the Trump campaign, the Trump White House, and the Biden campaign in 2020, which is interesting. Now, it does appear that the decisions have all been slanted in the favor of leftism, if I can paint with a broad brush there. But it's still a fact that both campaigns participated in what some were calling censorship. In the end, Twitter was the one making the decisions on what to censor and what not to censor. But it sounds like, especially with these more recent unsealings of the files, as they're called on Twitter, it sounds like that's revealing that actually in a more direct way, not just political campaigns trying to score points and trying to give themselves an advantage going into elections, but actually the established government, the I don't know if it's the Pentagon, but branches of, say, like the FBI might have reached out and said, hey, we've got some content we think that you should look out for here. You may want to take a look at that. And then other content that we'd really like to make sure that people get to see. From what I saw this morning, it looks like this was down to even flagging certain accounts, not to suppress them, but to promote their responses. So somebody, some important influential figure, just pulling it out of my hat, say AOC, gives a tweet on a topic that's a hot button topic. Well, the replies are going to come in really fast on those things. And a lot of people have spammy comments. Some people are just literally trying to spam and put links in that have nothing to do, but some are trolls. And then others are going to come in and say something supportive. Well, it may just have so happened, and maybe it's still happening, or maybe not anymore with Elon rearranging Twitter. The government of some agency would come in and say, we want these accounts to be whitelisted or promoted, say, to the top of the reply chain. So when people click on that tweet or that message, if you're in the Facebook world, it's kind of the same thing. You only see a limited selection of comments if there's a bunch of them. Let's say there's 30 comments on your post. Well, they're going to curate that. And Facebook will use algorithms to try to determine, hey, who are you closer friends with? Who do you interact with more on the platform? We will promote those to the top, or maybe a comment that gets a lot of likes and upvotes. On Twitter, it could be similar to that. It could be the number of faves or likes that a tweet got, but it also apparently is being handled through an algorithm or through manual intervention of some type that would take certain accounts, certain points of view, and promote them. Boy, we could spend a lot of time talking about that. But honestly, I don't really think a whole lot's going to come out of this, other than maybe the practice won't be so intense in the future. Maybe it will have some scrutiny. In any case, every government activity needs to have scrutiny, needs to have oversight. We don't live under the rule of our government. We are the government in this country. We the people. We do use a form of democracy where the people rule. However, we do that through representation and through a representative form of government where, hey, Congress, really what they ought to do is take a look at all of this stuff coming out related to Twitter and then take it up from there. Perhaps the incoming GOP Congress will do just that. I have a feeling that they will in some capacity. But at the end of the day, what's going to be done about it? Well, I don't know that there's really a lot of criminality that could be proved based on at least what I've seen. Now, I have not dove into it head first. I've been just kind of glancing at the releases and seeing what other people are saying, because I kind of want to see not what is this one thing that, oh no, I found the smoking gun. If there's a smoking gun, I'm sure somebody's going to find it. So I'm waiting to see what people are saying about it. And so far I see a lot of bad things that have happened, but I don't see a lot of prosecutable things. Time will tell. We'll see. There are other prosecutions we're going to talk about today, as I alluded with the opener with Liz Cheney talking about the January 6th committee. Oh yeah, we won't even have time to talk about Elon's poll. It sounds like he's not stepping down as head of Twitter. Maybe that poll was a trap for bots or something like that. Maybe we'll find that out, maybe we won't. But moving on to the next prosecution or potential prosecution, the January 6th committee, as you may know by now, has decided that they are going to refer Trump, former president, 45th president of the United States, for prosecution or for further proceedings of some type with the Department of Justice. It will then be up to Merrick Garland's team and department and crew, everybody that's over there, to decide what will be done with it. Let's listen to Liz Cheney's remarks again, just real quick, and then I have a few comments to make about them.
No man who would behave that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for any office. The committee recognizes that our work has only begun. It's only the initial step in addressing President Trump's effort to remain in office illegally. Prosecutors are considering the implications of the conduct that we describe in our report.
No man, lost my place, no man who would behave in that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again, she said. I presume she means of political authority, because Trump's actually still in a lot of authoritative positions. He is a businessman after all, and although you don't hear a lot about it these days, he's still head over, besides just the branding things, there are Trump organizations. There's the Trump organization that I'm pretty sure he's still in charge of that. So he is in a position of authority. But I think that she means what she said next, which is that he's unfit for running for any office. A couple of comments here. She says that he behaved, anyone who would behave that way, sounds like something that's just a general truism. Anybody that would behave that way, but she gives a caveat, at that moment in time. Well, what's that moment in time? Well, that's all up to your perception of it, because some people see it as a peaceful protest that had some rogue elements in it that caused it to get out of control. Others see it as a literal attempt to overthrow the government somehow. Now, that part has really not been described by the January 6th committee, is what was the plan to overthrow the government? She says at the end that this was President Trump's effort to remain in office illegally. Well, I'm sorry, but my perception is that this was his attempt to remain in office legally by following a legal process. But this is what they say. Whenever Trump asks for a court injunction, they'll come right back to these talking points and say he's trying to illegally remain in office. Well, no, he's trying to use the legal system in whatever way possible to get his case heard, because it's not being heard through the ways that millions of us would like it to have been heard. Okay, so she also says our work has only begun. This is the initial step, so don't expect this to go away. There's no chance it's a coincidence that this comes out the week before Christmas. This is literally the Democrats and Liz Cheney and Rhino Republicans. It's their attempts to ruin yet another Christmas for lovers of Donald Trump. And I mean, you know, politically speaking. I'm sure Melania is doing just fine. It's just sickening. It really just is. I don't even care. I wouldn't care if this was Obama. I wouldn't care if it was Biden and Hunter at this point. If they dropped charges on Hunter the week before Christmas after sitting on them for months or a year or longer, I would consider that kind of a political dirty trick. Now, maybe it's fair play at this point. I mean, really, honestly, at this point, we should have a bombshell about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, the big man, or whoever the big man is. I'm hearing rumors that it's somebody else, but that's just where we're at. Merry Christmas. Okay. So I don't want to spend any more time talking about Cheney, because we do have other semi-complicated matters to get into before we get to the fun. So, you know, you got to do a little bit of work before you get to play. And we are going to play a little bit here at the end of the stream, or the recorded podcast, if you're listening to it that way. Next up, then, would be the lawsuit or potential legal action. This one's in progress in Arizona. This is the Carrie Lake lawsuit versus Hobbs. Is it Katie Hobbs? Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs? I just realized they both have a K name they start off with. So yesterday, Arizona, the judge overseeing this case, whose name I have written down somewhere in my notes, I'll find it here in a second, approved some of the counts in her lawsuit in Maricopa County to go to trial. And this is a major step forward. This really is, because if you were paying attention, Mark Fincham also had a lawsuit which was dismissed. And there's one other one we'll talk about in a second, which was also dismissed. I've been saying, a lot of people have been saying, it's not just because I'm so super smart and have special insight. It's just looking at it on its face, her case has had the best chance of proceeding of all the ones that I've seen. And now it is proceeding. However, it is only 2 out of the 10 counts that are going to trial. So we'll get into those. But let's listen to Carrie Lake's tepid victory speech at Turning Point USA, who is having an event going on, and lots of speakers, Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, and others I saw were also getting a chance to speak there. They do a lot of events like this. Here's what Kerry says the day after that announcement was made by the judge.
Hey guys, guess what? Christmas came early yesterday. Woo! We are going to trial. This is so historic, and you know what? I couldn't have done it without you. You did it, and yesterday we got great news. We're taking these bastards to trial.
Okay, you heard it. It's historic, and we're going to trial. It's going to happen. All right, it sounds very good. You got a lot of cheers going on there. Now she goes on.
Katie Hobbs is going to have to put her hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth. That might be hard. That might be hard. And so is Stephen Richer. They're going to have to swear to tell the truth. And I just want to remind them that perjury is a felony. And we need you to continue to pray for our team. This is serious stuff, what's going on here, guys. We have a chance to show the world that our elections are truly corrupt, and we won't take it anymore. And so we need your prayers.
All right, there's a little bit more to that, but a lot of cheering, and I cut out for sake of time. And she says some of the same things over and over again, because again, she's in front of a crowd. I get it. So she says that we have a chance to show the elections are truly corrupt. We using this case, says she has an excellent case. And I think they have, again, the best case of all the ones that have been presented in this cycle so far. It goes to trial next Wednesday and Thursday. So between Christmas and New Year's is what it sounds like. They want to get a quick resolution on this, because honestly, you've got the upcoming legislative session is going to start. You're going to have a new governor be sworn in Arizona and many other states, that we have to get on with things. We can't be in limbo on these elections forever. We have to have some closure. So I'm glad that it's going to trial. She says three times in her approximately 2-minute speech that she was out on stage for that she and her team need prayers. I find it interesting that there was a lot of repeat of a couple of messages in that speech, but not really a lot of information. Now, maybe this is just being done as a legal strategy. You don't want to talk about it, but I think there could be another reason as well. And that is, firstly, 2 of the 10 accounts were approved, meaning that 8 out of the 10 were rejected. This is not a strong sign for the case that she says is excellent. However, it is, in my opinion, a good strategy, and part of why I've said that she has a good case or a decent case. And here's what it is. Is if you just went in with one charge and said, this form of fraud occurred and we want to take it to court. Well, if that charge gets struck down, your case is closed. But by putting 10 different counts in there, 2 out of the 10, a 20% success rate, got to proceed. Now, that maybe that sounds bad at first glance. Well, only 2 out of 10 got approved. Well, it's better than 0 out of 10. It's better than 0 out of 100, and it's also better than 0 out of 1. It's also true that in life and in many legal cases and proceedings that the odds are actually stacked against you that any of this is going to go through, especially considering our court system does not want to be the one to overthrow or overturn any elections and then face the potential backlash that could come with that, or feel like they're betraying their political team, which they're not supposed to be on because they're part of the judicial system. They shouldn't be partisan, but let's face it, many are. So I do think that it's kind of a good sign that 2 of the 10 went through. Now, what are they? What are those two counts? One of them has to do with illegal tabulator configurations, meaning that the vote counters, the tabulators in the back, were set up in a way that could have made them vulnerable to hacking and other concerns. Maybe they were set up. Some of us think that there could be these proportional algorithms going on where, say, like the vote for candidate A is worth 1.25, 1 1/4 votes, and the other one's only worth 3/4 of a vote. You know, that would have to be proven. That's just an allegation. And I don't know if it was part of her case here, but that's basically what the tabulator configuration count is about. The second one has to do with chain of custody. Now, this is a particularly important issue to me because I believe I've witnessed, or at least witnessed the after effects of, a breach in proper chain of custody in my own state, which I talked about earlier this year during the recount during the primary and runoff season. The chain of custody in Arizona is going to be a little bit different, but basically putting these two together, they're going to have to prove, the Team Lake is going to have to prove, that printer malfunctions were intentional and meant to affect the results, and that they actually did. The printers are involved in the voting process too. I believe they vote on a screen and then it prints out a ballot, and then you take that ballot in some places. I know from watching eyewitness testimony in 2020, at least, that I think some people filled out their ballots with a pen or with a Sharpie, and that was controversial too. But it may be that some places print off the votes, like in other states. Oklahoma, thankfully, doesn't do that yet. I'm trying, and others like me are trying, to make sure that never happens here, because it's one more unauditable layer of this whole process. So the other allegation is that the machines, or some of the machines, the tabulators, I guess, were left vulnerable to hacking. Well, my question is, were they hacked, or were they just left vulnerable? Because that's a different. And is that the allegation? Are they actually alleging that the machines are hacked? I don't really know. So we'll find out next week. I think that will probably be saved for the oral arguments, and we may or may not get to see that live. I'm sure there'll be plenty of reports on it, though. So pay attention to that if you are paying attention to anything political at all during the final counting down days of the holidays. A lot of people are not going to be paying attention, though, and that's kind of the idea here, I think, too, is this will all be done and taken care of. We'll go into the new year, and everybody will move on. It's sad, but that's kind of where we're at. So now, on the other side of this, what was denied in this case? What counts are denied? Well, they had to do with freedom of speech violations. You know, the people that had to wait an excessive amount of time in line and maybe had to leave, had to do a signature matching. That one was actually thrown out. That would have been a powerful one to look into, but nobody wants to touch it. Certification, which is a fight that they fought over, the forced certification. I don't think that would have gone anywhere either, as evidenced by the fact that it was dismissed, and having to do with remedies and et cetera. You can read more about that on the Washington Examiner. They have an article entitled, "Carrie Lake Heads to Trial After Judge Allows 2 out of 10 of Her Election Lawsuit Claims." And I will link that in the show notes below. The point here is that the charges will go to court. The charges that are going to go to court, I should say, those aren't really able to affect the outcome of this election, like some of the other charges might have. So even if we get a ruling that says, yep, there was some misconduct here, or yes, this was improperly configured, maybe they can't prove intent and say it was illegally configured, but it needs to be done correctly the next time, we may see a result like that. Perhaps there will be some positive change that comes out of it. But don't expect Carrie Lake to be sworn in as governor, as she was quite confident that she was going to be in the days right after the election. It's difficult. I don't blame Carrie Lake. I think that she's doing the best job of anybody that's taken up this fight. But it does kind of look like almost like it's a lost cause at this point. And I don't mean election integrity. I mean this particular battle in the fight. We're going to have to look forward. We're going to have to look at solutions. We're going to have to look at other ways to get through. Personally, I believe it's the legislative route. I think that's the only place we're going to see success, is because that's the constitutional place where this is supposed to be done. Not any other. It's not U.S. Congress. It's not your mayor. Everybody's maybe got a part to play in this at some level, but the power of the electoral process is laid out in the Constitution. It is in a manner that the legislature, state legislatures, shall direct. So that's basically where it's got to go, in my opinion. And, you know, if you're listening to this show, you might be of a similar opinion. And that's where I stand with that. There was also Mark Fincham's lawsuit. It was dismissed, and the Arizona state senator, it was Sonny Borelli. They both had lawsuits that did not get to proceed. So this is basically it at this point. So that's where we are. Oh yeah, by the way, I wouldn't be holding my breath still for Brazil and the military to come in. And what are they going to do? Christmas Eve, come in and storm the compound of the well, actually, I think Bolsonaro is still the president at this point. It's the new incoming guy that's that he's not in the palace yet, so they can't even storm the palace on Christmas Eve. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. But I'm just saying, I'm just being realistic here. We're going to have to look forward. We can't look back. I think that's the lesson of 2020 and 2022, is that we're not going to retroactively restore election integrity. It's only going to be done going forward. So get your rest and get ready for the next year. Get ready to make some phone calls and talk to your representatives, everyone. Next up, I need to dispel some fake news. All right, I need to do it quickly here before we run out of time. I'm going to get going too long. I got some other things I got to get to tonight. There was a Borla video, and I don't know if that sounds like something else. There's some other name that I cannot think of for the life of me right now, but maybe I'm thinking of Borla Exhaust, but this is B-O-U-R-L-A. This video was a fake. It was a fake in that it was edited together of different parts of this guy's statement. He's a World Economic Forum person. I don't know much about him, but if you saw this video, I'm just telling you, you got duped by some fake news potentially. He said that it looks like in the video that got shared around that he wanted to reduce the population of the world by 50% in 2023. And I think this was while they were talking about vaccines or pandemic or something like that. Okay. And it looks, sounds really bad, especially when you see it on TikTok with some background music playing next to it and somebody with wide eyes going, huh, what, ooh, you know, like they do on TikTok, like the cool kids do. But what he actually said was that a number of people in the world, we want to reduce the number of people in the world that cannot afford their medicines by 50%. Not reduce the people by 50%, but reduce the inability of people to afford medicines they want to get to them by 50%. So that's a lot different. Okay. Now, some people might argue that it's really not that different because what are those medicines going to do to the people? Well, I mean, come on, let's be honest. 50% population reduction. This is just like in math class, when you check your work, if you had a problem that was like, you know, 2 plus X equals 10, and you got an answer that was 360, you need to go back and check that. Really, if 2 plus something is 10, and you got 360, you can count on your hand, you can count on your two hands, fingers even, what that would be. So obviously 360 is wrong. So when you hear something that sounds very salacious, or the New York City adage, you know, if anybody tells you something that sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Well, if somebody tells you something that's dire and drastic and apocalyptic, you also need to go back and check and make sure that you're getting the real deal. I never would have known if I had not read comments in this video when I saw it posted, because the video didn't appear to be edited together, probably unless you're watching it closely enough to see the frames jump over and all that stuff. So just fair warning to everybody. Okay, now let's move on, as I close out a tab here, to an interesting story that some, I'm sure, will still think what they think, but Trump has backed Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House. And we've talked about it a couple of times. I've had the intro to this show for most of the year with Matt Gaetz announcing that he's going to nominate Trump for Speaker. And then there's this controversy over McCarthy and Andy Biggs and the 30 votes that they don't have, the not enough votes to get McCarthy over the finish line. Well, Trump has chimed in now. And this Breitbart article, Breitbart exclusive, says Trump backs McCarthy for Speaker and tells opponents to stand down, saying, I think he deserves a shot. You can read that. I'll link it also on the or in the description. But the article starts off, just to give you a little piece of it. Miami, Florida, former President Donald Trump told the conservatives currently withholding support from House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy in McCarthy's speakership bid to stand down in an exclusive interview with Breitbart News. This was on Friday. I like him, Trump said of McCarthy before teeing off on those working against him, such as Reps Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Biggs. I was getting confused because it said against him. I thought it meant against Trump, because Gaetz is not against Trump. He was going to nominate him, but no, they're against McCarthy. So he's basically talking to Matt Gaetz, Andy Biggs, Matt Rosendale, Bob Good, and Ralph Norman, who are all Republicans. It says, while Trump did not name those trying to stop McCarthy from taking the speaker's gavel on January the 3rd, he in no uncertain terms said he disagrees with their efforts and warned that there could be serious consequences if McCarthy does not get the gavel, and they could make Washington worse for conservatives. I think there's some truth to that. Who else came out and endorsed McCarthy? I can't remember right now, but kind of early on, unless you've got a really strong contender, Andy Biggs is the next strongest, but he doesn't have enough votes either. So what are you going to do? It's going to be a bad look. And I know that there's been the discussions about, well, maybe they'll go to multiple votes. But again, you're going to come out of this with a weakened looking leadership structure in a time when we need as much strength on this side of the aisle as can be. You've got a Democrat controlled Senate. You've got a Democrat-controlled White House, and you basically got a Democrat landscape in the media. You've only got one of these areas that will be under Republican control, and it's not even going to be under that much Republican control, just enough to take over the chairmanships. Okay, so you need a unifying type figure, and although I think McCarthy has his flaws, I think he also is a very consistent leader, and I think that he's able to do the job. Look back at some previous speakers. There was John Boehner. There's Paul Ryan. There's Newt Gingrich. They all have certain qualities. Whether you like their politics or not, I disagree with a lot of these yahoos out here. Okay, but what is the job of the speaker? The job is, it's kind of like the majority whip, the minority whip. That's an extended function in my view of what the speaker is all about. They are to rally the troops together because they have to actually vote and pass things. Otherwise, nothing gets done, which a lot of times I argue is better, and a lot of other people would agree with me there too. Let's get nothing done, but we have some real problems that need to be addressed. It's going to take some legislation, especially with inflation. It's policy that is causing all this stuff, other than world events that are somewhat out of our control. But again, Congress can impact those world events. So that's what's going on. I'm not making a statement one way or the other. Nobody says that. I'm not making a statement either way. How about that? On Trump, McCarthy, Biggs, and company. We'll see what happens. It's really for the representatives to decide. Now, lastly, in our headlines, let me close this out. I've got a couple of sound clips. This is on the Dan Bongino show, and I caught it live. I'm so glad that somebody got the recording because this was like everything was happening so fast. And Bongino was talking on a show about, we had another Twitter file thing happen. We had the Carrie Lake advancement going on yesterday. He already had an interview with Trump, and then I think something else happened right afterwards on that too, all during the day yesterday. So quite a busy week for being the week before Christmas. It's kind of like the Friday news dump, but it's an extended edition. It's like a 2-week news dump. So they talked about the elections coming up, the 2024 elections, and mail-in voting. And what do we do about fraud when we're not the ones in power is basically Dan's question to Trump. And here is the beginning part of that and Trump's response.
And given that you're running for president again, a lot of critics will say, and I'll be honest with you, President, I think, Mr. President, I think to myself sometimes too, we're stuck with it now. If we get in office and we can do, some of these changes at the state level, But we're stuck with it. So the more we talk about it, the more we kind of dissuade people from voting via that way. And we have almost no chance of winning that.
Well, I think that we have to get a big, strong victory somewhere along the line. We have to get a very powerful victory. And then we have to change it to paper ballots and same day voting and, voter ID and all the things that you want. Who would not want voter ID? So the way you beat it is you have to win literally in a landslide, and you have to have tremendous people watching. And I think we have that. One thing we have is we have a lot of spirit, but the Republicans don't cheat the same way. I mean, these people are cheaters. What they've done is so bad. When you look at Adam Schiff, the same stuff, Russia, 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 today's on with more nonsense, all nonsense. If you look at my statements were beautiful. And compare them to the statements of a Maxine Waters and many other people on the other side. They were vicious statements, vicious and, just horrible statements, what they said. We have to win big, Dan. Look, we're going to have to win big. You know what goes on. You're one of the people that really does get it. And you saw what happened in the election. It was a disgrace.
beautiful statements. We have the best statements. I just wanted to throw that in there. But Trump said we need to get a powerful victory, or we being people that he supports, and then change it to same-day voting, get voter ID laws, etc. Said we have to literally win in a landslide with tremendous people watching. And I find it interesting, and that's an important part too, is people watching, like, what do you, I thought the military is watching. I thought eyes in the sky, Space Force, all this stuff that we've been hearing about. If you've been on the dark parts of the web, the dark parts of conservative web, there's a lot of people that thought the military was going to come in. A lot of people thought we weren't even going to have midterms. They were going to stop it. Well, we had midterms and we didn't have any Space Force lasers coming in and making the machines work properly in Maricopa County either. So in order to actually make a difference, it's going to take our eyes watching it. It's going to take more people participating as poll workers, as poll watchers, as, like, I advocate going and talking to your representatives to say what you want changed in the laws in your state, because it's state by state. And maybe the things that work in Colorado aren't the same things that work in Oklahoma, but that's for the states to decide. I have to win in the landslide. So, but the one thing though is that Dan Bongino responds as though Trump just endorsed mail-in voting, but I didn't hear that. Let's listen to it again and tell me what you think.
Well, I think that we have to get a big, strong victory somewhere along the line. We have to get a very powerful victory, and then we have to change it to paper ballots and same day voting. So the way you beat it is you have to win literally in a landslide, and you have to have tremendous people watching.
Okay, so he did say we have to win and then we can get to same day voting. Now, I don't think that he means don't vote on election day. That's not what I heard. I didn't hear don't vote on election day if you're Republican, mail it in. He didn't condemn mail-in voting, which is interesting. And that was definitely part of the question. So the fact that he didn't maybe was taken by Bongino as a tacit endorsement. I didn't hear it. That's all I'm going to say. But we'll see as time goes on. I'm not totally opposed to mail-in voting. It is, if you listen to more of their discussion, it was actually true in the past, at least around here and in many other places, that Republicans were the ones leading the charge when it came into mail-in voting. In other states with ballot harvesting, I've been in North Carolina where that was a debate going on. There are some places where ballot harvesting has been allowed, other places where it's not. I live in a state where it's not, and people have an adversity to seeing it done. But those are discussions that I think should be had. And it's not necessarily just an up or down black and white issue. So it's not like you have the right position and the wrong position. So we need more discussion on that. And I think that in time we'll flesh it out. But he's right. We're going to have to win some elections in order to make some of these changes. Because the people currently in office, at least there's not enough of them that want to do it. They don't seem to want to address it. Okay. Enough politics. Enough back and forth, left and right. Hobbs and Lake, enough of that stuff. Let's get on to the Christmas celebration, because I'm really running out of time here, at least as far as the time scale I want to be on today, so I can get off to my, I wish it was holiday shopping. I really need to get a little bit of that done before the weekend, but we'll get to it. Got to do a lot of work. But it's been a busy year, hasn't it? I'm sure it's been busy for you, whoever is in this wonderful listening audience, soon to be viewing audience as well. I got the channel started this year. I got the whole thing going. I've been waiting for some time to really get like a more or less permanent, and I don't know if it's permanent as in like until I'm 90, but at least a longer medium term production going on. And I had to get a lot of things in order. I had to get my thoughts in order, mainly was the main thing, but also having other things taken care of at home, work schedule and all the rest of that stuff. So I finally had the opportunity to do it. And I feel like I had a good time this year doing it. So I know I've talked about the changes that are coming up. We will discuss that momentarily, but let's review some other things that went on this year. 2022 had the first major elections since 2020. Patriots all over the country had been conducting citizens' investigations, forming groups to address election fraud and election integrity in virtually every state, especially the swing states. Every legislator, therefore, or official election supervisor or body of supervisors has been made aware of these citizens' concerns. That's something that had not been done prior to 2020. It's only just been here and there, maybe a little news story on some vulnerabilities, and then we move on. But a lot has changed in terms of public awareness, and I think that's not insignificant. Even though little to no actual changes were made to the laws. So then we had the primaries and the runoffs, and we had the midterms. Many people expected a red wave. We just got a little splash instead. It didn't materialize. But it's not insignificant that the House has flipped. That really puts the brakes on the Democrat agenda going forward for the remainder of Biden's term. We presume Biden's going to run for office again, but maybe not. He hasn't announced. Anything could happen, but I think it would be unlikely that he doesn't run again at this point. He probably would have announced that already if he wasn't. Meanwhile, inflation has skyrocketed, and I do mean skyrocketed. 7% year over year, month after month, is going to do that. That means that by the end of the year, overall costs have risen somewhere around 7%. Maybe it'll be lower by the end of the year. I don't know. We'll find out in January. And even if it's cooling off now, the increases are still there. The most recent report, it's not like it's down to the 2 or 3% target, where ordinarily they say, most economists say that that's a good place for inflation to be. And the Fed is taking actions to make borrowing more expensive. So in order to hope to curve the cost, you know, they, in complicated ways, I suppose that could have an impact, but some would argue that the borrowing rate is not what caused inflation to begin with. So it's not going to be the solution to it. And, really, honestly, wages will catch up, but they don't keep pace with, I don't see how they keep pace with 7%. 2 to 5%, maybe. But when you have 2 to 5%, unless you're getting a 7% raise, you're not really getting a raise. And if it's 7% or 6%, you really need like 9 to 12% in the form of a raise in order for you to actually see a tangible increase in your standard of living. You can't just get a raise that is equal to inflation. Otherwise, you're just stagnant, basically. And that's kind of what the whole stagflation idea is. So I hope that that's not what we're headed into or what we're in already. It's kind of like a stag session. It's not really a recession at this point, technically, because we had minimal growth in the GDP, but it's not really going anywhere. So that's where we're at. That's 2022. Another reason, big reason for the inflation had to do with Russia moving into Ukrainian territory where the battle is still raging on. Of course, we've talked a lot about that on the show. Not going to go back into it now, but that did happen this year. There's a lot more I could describe, of course, but we're not going to go into too much detail. See, I already talked about the show. So here's what's going on with the show. So throughout the year, when I began this, I know that it's a slow start, especially when, you know, I'm not a brand name. I'm not a household name. There's a few people in Oklahoma that might recognize me, but most of them aren't podcast listeners either. They're people that I meet in person, activists. And some are, but I just haven't really reached the saturation level. I'm also not necessarily trying to get, it's not a local-based podcast. Now, I am in favor of being locally active, being active in your community and trying to make a difference where you live. But that's not confined to just where I live, if that makes sense. So I expected that the show would, you know, kind of be slow to grow, but I was hoping within a few months to see maybe 20 or 30 listeners in the audience at a given time. I thought maybe that would take 6 months or so to get there. And then I would just be targeting, making sure it continues to grow at a certain rate. Well, I've really only seen a minimal amount of growth since the beginning and kind of since the summer month, it's really sort of leveled off more or less. I suppose there's things I could do like bringing in more guests and having them share the episode that they're on too. That's kind of a good model to work. But I'm also just trying to get started and figure out what it is that I'm doing. Then, not too long into the beginning of my journey, I was publishing, I got to where I would publish the copies of the episode to Rumble and to YouTube, which is a good thing that I got started with that. But then all of a sudden I got censored and I got one of my episodes taken down. And I think it was because I had just a clip of Trump. And then I just made a comment on what he said. I didn't say, this is the gospel truth, listen to this, and this is correct. but I got flagged for misinformation somehow. I tweet our truthed about it and just use a pin on Truth Social shared my show when he saw that. And I got a bunch of views on the Rumble for that show. It also resulted in a few followers. And I thought, great, this is what we were hoping for. I mean, this wasn't how I was hoping for it to happen. I actually lost that that one episode on YouTube. You could only listen to it on Podbean and Rumble in that case. So that happened. Okay. But everywhere else, there wasn't really any growth, and I didn't see any growth on Rumble after that, despite the fact that I've been sharing the videos out there. It's just a matter of reaching the right people at the right time and having content that they want to listen to at that time and so forth. Then came Thanksgiving, and leading up to Thanksgiving, I had this idea for a video, which we've mentioned the last couple of weeks on here. You can find it on my YouTube and my Rumble channels only. It's not on the Podbean channel. And it should still be up there going forward. And at this point, that video, at least on YouTube, has done 1,500 views. That's pretty good. That's like the highest of anything that I've done this year. In fact, the whole show has only reached like 100 people, unique people on Podbean, at least according to what the statistics tell me. And it's only had 900 some odd plays throughout the whole year. So it may not reach 1,000. But yet one video on YouTube got that, and that's resulted in some subscriptions on that platform. So therefore, in order to focus and in order to make sure I keep going forward with the show, it should feel like it's growing to me, and I think that will help in terms of growth. I'm moving off of the Podbean format. I may still have episodes available on here, but we'll find out what happens actually tonight whenever I cancel the paid level subscription. There's an option to like upgrade it to a higher level, but I don't see any way to just go back to the free. So I really don't know what's going to happen when I do that, but I've got to. I mean, there's a cost associated with it every month. And unless I've got thousands of people listening, unless I'm an established brand and this is just one of the places that I give out my content, although it is just one of the places that I give out my content, you should follow me on the other channels. You know, unless you've already got that going, it's not going to pay for itself. And right now, I can't afford for things not to pay for themselves. So that's what we're doing going forward. Now, I also think it's going to help me move less in the direction of I enjoy doing the live broadcast, but there's also a lot of pressure associated with, okay, at this exact time, I've got to be ready, you know, for this thing. And then usually while I'm getting ready for it, all kinds of other stuff happens that I'm like, oh, well, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. And you can't just squeeze all that into an episode. You've seen how I've tried to make these 1 hour long. And sometimes I go over, sometimes I go under. But when I go into a recorded video format, I can edit better. I can write out statements if I need to, or if I'm just talking about something and I'm rambling, I can do the quick edits and all that stuff. So I think that's where we're going to be going with it. I'm pretty excited. I've already got an idea for my next video and some other ones that I want to do. Some will be historical, some will be more current events. And I do plan to continue streaming. So look for at least probably like once a month or maybe more, I will be doing streaming episodes on a video. I've got a camera and everything. I've got to get it finalized as far as like my streaming settings and all that stuff. But it'll be fun. So we'll get started with that. I hope you'll join me. The podcast, the show is called the same thing on all these channels. It's called Liberty Sound. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Rumble. I'll put the links in the description as well. Please follow me there if you are following me here, if you want to continue hearing the show. Now, let's do some Christmas, and then we're pretty much done for the show and for the year. It's so emotional. But I wanted to have some fun by doing a ranker list, or a tier maker is where I'm doing this one on, because you can create your own custom ones. I think ranker is like written by somebody, and they take votes on it, but it's controlled by somebody that works for them. So I went in, and I'm a Doctor Who fan, and it's Christmas time. And if you know anything about Doctor Who in recent years, it's that they do a Christmas special. Although I don't know if the last 2 years that they've still continued that tradition. I'm sure it's not done, but I only know of like one more recent Christmas episode. I don't watch the show anymore. I kind of quit watching a couple of years ago, but I watched all the way through 2005 or 2006 when it relaunched and rebooted. Never having seen it before, I had really just seen one teaser trailer scene, and I was hooked. Like, I loved it, and I knew I was going to love the show when I finally got around to watching it. So I did, much later than 2006, and it was like 2015 or 2013 or something like that when I finally watched it, and caught all the way up, and boy, I was into it. I love these Christmas episodes. So I know you can't see it. This is one of the advantages that will be on video soon, but I am going to rank from A to F as far as the quality of how much I like. Now, it's not going to be the same way that you would rank them if you know Doctor Who too. I don't know how many of my fans are Doctor Who fans, but probably quite a few, actually, I would guess, because of the fact that, you know, I don't know, it's just similar things. I find that the people I watch on other channels myself end up being fans of the same thing I'm a fan of. So starting off with the first one in no particular order other than this is just how I uploaded it, and I'm going to have to catch the titles in some of these. Let's quickly go through the Doctor Who Christmas specials. Now, the first one that I'm looking at is called A Christmas Carol, or The Christmas Carol, something like that. It is not Charles Dickens, but I've got a surprise for you coming up on one of these later where you may just hear from Charles Dickens and didn't know that you're going to here on Christmas. So the Doctor in this one shows up on a planet. I forget if it's the one where it seems like his companions are stuck in orbit and trying to land the whole time. So the episode has nothing to do with the companions, the ordinary companions, but the Doctor runs into a new companion, and there's a Grinch, a Scrooge-like figure who is a bank master, or he's able to control lending in some ways, very powerful. And a family comes begging to him for mercy. And this is on a different planet. Keep that in mind too. It's not on Earth. There are fish that swim in the snow, in the air, in this planet. It's a very odd planet. But they have a little girl, or I think it's a little girl. It's one of the members of the family that's a daughter. And as a result of this family not being able to pay their debts, this Scrooge figure locks her up in a cryo chamber of some kind. And this is the way that he, you know, keeps his empire going, I guess. He's an evil man, or he's really just grumpy. Maybe he's just really, really grumpy. I don't know if that qualifies as evil or grumpy, but in Doctor Who, sometimes the lines are blurred. Now they go through, and I'm not going to describe the whole episode. I'm just jogging my own memory on it. And they end up, you know, having some adventure. There's a little boy, and they end up going and visiting this Scrooge in the past, because Doctor Who's a time traveler and he can do things like that. Even though he can't get his friends, his companions down to the planet to land, he can go back in time. And I don't know about you, but I love this episode. I'm going to put it in, it's at least going in A. All right. Now there is above A, there is the S class. And I think that means super, I guess. And then I added in F because there's a D. A D is failing in America where I'm from. It may not be failing everywhere, at least in, I don't know, when I was growing up, it was failing. F is also failing, but it's like really failing. Okay. D is, you're almost there. F is not a chance. There's also maybe if I haven't watched any of these, I got a lane for that too. So I'm putting that in A, and we'll see if I need to bump it up or down based on, the other one. So if I come up to another episode here and I'm like, oh, this one's a lot better, then we'll just go with that. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is Christmas. If you want to hear this entire ranking list with unedited perfection or imperfection, then you can listen to the extra episode I'm going to put out. That's just this little thing, but I've cut out most of that from the main podcast because it's going to be too long of an episode if I do it that way. So with that, I want to just wrap things up here. I'm kind of just enjoying the end of my show for the year and for the season. And I hope that everybody has a great Christmas coming up, no matter what it is that you have been going through this year. If it's been a tough year, if it's been an easy year, if it's been great, if you're with the love of your life, or if you've lost the love of your life, no matter what your circumstances are, you can make it at a joyous occasion. I always try to do that no matter what I'm going through. In fact, it doesn't even matter if you're an 8-year-old kid who's left in New York City by your little lonesome, by your parents, and you have to go to a candlelight mass alone in the snow. Just remember the Savior whose birth we celebrate this season. And I'm sure to keep your eyes on him, things will look up for you. I'm going to stall for a second while this Auld Lang Syne plays in the background for us. But I'm Ryan Hill. I'm Faux Ryan on Truth and Gab Social and Telegram. I'm Faux Universe. One day I hope to be signed back into Twitter again. It would really be nice. It just really would. All I want for Christmas is SMS authentication to work on Twitter so I can start using the platform again and reaching out to a wider audience, spreading the principles of liberty and truth and a little bit of history and some Doctor Who sprinkled in here and there as well. Keep stalling. It's good stuff here. I'm going to take a drink of water. Don't get to do that very much without muting or playing a soundbite. You know, it's kind of the nice. It's the spirit of Christmas. It just really is. And it's also the spirit of New Year, which is why I'm playing Auld Lang Syne. And we can all sing it together next week or the week after, whenever it is. In a week and a half from now, we can all sing this and put 2022 to rest, get ready for 2023, and come back with a lot more content. I hope to see you there. Your Christmas is fantastic.